Hey everyone, Matt here from the Choir Director Corner podcast. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you've gotten a lot of value out of being a listener, could you do me a quick favor and please go leave a nice, shiny 5-star review in whatever platform you're using to listen to the podcast? Not only would I be greatly appreciative of that, this will also help other choir directors find the podcast. And that's one of the big goals, is to reach as many people as we can. So thanks so much for being a listener, and let's get on with the show. So I did a blog post a while back on strategies to use audiation in our choir rehearsals. And I recently had a comment from David. David, if you're listening, thank you so much for your comment. And David just loved the blog post. And his response to it really got me thinking. And I decided, you know what? This is really something I need to share with the podcast listeners. So if you're not quite sure what audiation is or how you might use it in your choir rehearsal, keep listening, because you're going to get some great rehearsal strategies out of this episode. Let's get into it. Here we go. And welcome, my friends, to the Choir Director Corner podcast. My name is Matt Walker. I am your host. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining me for today's episode. So as I mentioned in the intro, this podcast episode actually started out as a blog post on my website, and I recently had a comment from David who just loved the original blog post. And so here's what David had to say. All caps, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have taught audiation to choirs for many years. All of my choirs audiate the scale by pitch memory. The exercises you listed are tremendous for pitch memory. The ear training and sight reading classes don't take audiation far enough in most music education programs. There should be an entire semester of silent audiating scales, chords, and melodies. Relative pitch can and should be taught consistently, and my choir sing in tune. Thank you so much. Well, David, thank you so much for reading the blog and for your comments, if you're listening. And it was David's response to that blog post that really got me thinking, and I decided this is a topic we need to cover on the podcast. So, and the title is The Think System. So if you're familiar with The Music Man, yeah, with Professor Harold Hill and his system, Think, 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 where it's having the students think the pitches in their brain, that's really kind of what audiation is. Now, when we talk about audiation, with my experience with it, I have to go all the way back to a guy by the name of Edwin Gordon. Now, if you've been through a music education preparation program, you know this name, right? I had a music ed class in college that was all about Gordon's work and music learning theory. It was very interesting stuff, but I have to admit, it was really thick material. Like, I had a tough time wrapping my brain around some of the science and research that Gordon was talking about. In fact, it probably gave me a headache a couple of times. But Gordon's work is really the basis for much of what we do as music educators. And a large part of his work has to do with audiation. Now, again, I won't get too far into the science and the research behind audiation, Gordon's stages of audiation, and all of that, but here is a basic working definition for us. Audiation is the sensation of an individual hearing sound when it is not physically present. I'll say that again. Audiation is the sensation of an individual hearing sound when it is not physically present. So take any song that you know. You know, take Happy Birthday, for example. Now, without singing or playing the song, sing or think the song in your head. by doing that, that is essentially audiation. Now, what we're really getting at is the ability of a singer to hear, or really to think, music in their head without singing it. It's an incredibly important skill, as a singer must be able to think a pitch before they can sing it. Makes sense, right? So in today's episode, I'm going to give you some ideas as to how to get your choir started with practicing audiation. Now, by doing this, not only are you helping to develop their inner hearing, you will also see their sight reading skills improve. And you're also giving them another tool to use in their practicing toolbox. You know, singers are self-conscious enough about practicing at home with other families around. Well, this is a perfect tool, yeah? Just by going through their music and literally thinking it using audiation, they are in a way practicing their music, but they're not going to bother anyone else, and they don't have to be self-conscious about actually singing with other people in the house, right? So it's a win-win situation, right? So here are some ways to practice audiating with your choir. So one of the ways is during warm-ups. Warm-ups are a great low-stress opportunity to practice audiation. Now, depending on the warm-up, you can simply have your singers leave out a particular beat or a particular solfege syllable. So we do the following warm-up, the do, do, re, do, do, re, mi, re, do, and we will actually do that in a round, yeah? So dividing up into two parts, three parts, even four parts in the choir, depending on how large your choir is, right? Then, after we go through it once, I will have the singers leave out a particular syllable. So leaving out me, for example. When singing it in a round, it becomes a lot more difficult than my singers think it will be. They underestimate how important that one little syllable can be. We will then do it a second time, adding a second syllable to leave out. And when they finish, you can then check the pitch to make sure that they have stayed in tune while singing the exercise. That's just one way that you can use audiation even in the midst of your warm-ups. You know, this is a way where they can practice audiation and they don't even really know that they're practicing it. Yeah, it's not really scary. It's in the middle of warm-ups and, you know, everyone is working together. And so, you know, it's not going to be necessarily noticeable if someone messes up. Actually, on the contrary, it's really quite fun when people, you know, slip on a me or, you know, they add in a different syllable or leave out a different syllable. And it's really quite fun. You know, everyone has a laugh and we try it again and then we move on. So it's not a very scary way at all of practicing this concept. Now, another way that you can practice audiation is when you're working with music literacy and specifically sight reading. So as part of our rehearsal routine, I will often use hand signs to go through four note patterns with my choir. So I'll set the specific tone for do, do, and then I will silently sign a four note pattern, and then the choir will then have to sing it back to me using solfege. So, and I stay right in tempo. Yeah, if you keep it in 4/4, so I do signs, do, re, mi, and so, and then they sing back to me, do, re, mi, so, and then I go right into the next four note pattern with my hand signs. So when first practicing this, I will always start each pattern on do. But as the singers get the hang of it, I will then start to make the patterns a little bit more difficult, and I will start on a different syllable and also using larger intervals in my pattern. You can also have your singers sign the pattern as they sing, which gives them that extra practice, the kinesthetic learning with those solfege hand signs. So again, this is a way of incorporating this into your system of using solfege for music literacy as well as sight reading. So that's strategy number two. right? So we've got 12 strategies in this episode. So the first one is in warm-ups, leaving out a particular beat or solfège syllable in a warm-up. Strategy number two then is when you're using hand signs and having them audiate. So they're thinking the pitches as you're doing the hand signs. So that's strategy number two. Now, strategy number three, if your choir doesn't really have experience with hand signs, you can instead sing a four-note pattern on do or another neutral syllable. Yeah, you pick. And have the choir echo the pattern using solfège. Now, in this example, they are using their audiation skills to make that connection and quote-unquote translate that neutral syllable into solfège, which is another important skill when it comes to sight reading. Now, depending on your sight reading routine, there are a number of ways to use audiation. As your choir is singing through a sight reading excerpt, you can, here's strategy number four, have them sing only specific beats of each measure. So for instance, they only sing beats one and four. Now, once they can do that consistently, then change to maybe they only sing beat one, right, of each measure. So they're having to audiate on those other counts and every so often then actually singing the solfège syllable. And all the while, they're trying to maintain that intonation, keeping things in tune. So that's strategy number four. Have them only sing specific beats of each measure. And then as they get more proficient, you can make it beat one of every other measure. You can even try having them to give them the starting pitches and then they audiate the whole excerpt and then see if they can find their finishing note. Yeah. So all of this is within the concept of doing your sight reading exercises. No matter what you do as far as sight reading, what system, you know, what resource you are using, you can incorporate this into your sight reading routine. Now, strategy number five, make the different sections in your choir go back and forth. So for instance, only sopranos and tenors sight read and sing the first measure. Altos and basses sing the second measure. Third measure is back to the sopranos and tenors and back and forth, etc., etc. Not only does this force them to listen intensely, it can be a lot of fun. And if your choir likes little competitive games, this is perfect. Yeah, maybe a fun little reward for whichever group, sopranos and tenors or altos and basses, are more successful, right? So that's strategy number five. Make the different sections in your choir go back and forth. Strategy number six, also related to, in this case, sight reading, is pick a specific syllable for your singers to leave out while they are sight reading an excerpt. You want to increase the difficulty? Pick a common syllable. So have them leave out do, yeah? Or, you know, if that's maybe a little too hard, having them leave out me or leaving out so. And if you're sight reading multi-part exercises, have each voice part leave out a different syllable. Wow, you're really going to get brains working in something like that. Yeah, because you've got all the different sections of the choir singing their own part, but they're all leaving out their a different syllable as they sight read the excerpt. So just another way to build in this practice of using audiation, and you haven't even gotten to your repertoire yet. Yeah, we're still working through the routine of sight reading in rehearsal. Now, getting to repertoire. Okay, so here are some ideas that I've taken from, I have a set of choral rehearsal techniques flashcards that you can use some of these techniques to practice audiation, all right? So here is strategy number seven. This is, I call, sing it and audiate it. Now, this one is incredibly helpful during the learning process. If you need to isolate a part for a particular vocal section, but you don't want the other singers sitting there and just chatting, give starting pitches for all vocal parts, and then have the other singers audiate their part while the one section you want to isolate sings their part. Now, if the section singing needs a little more context as while they're singing, have the other sections of the choir lightly hum their part while the other section sings. I see questions all the time about what do I have other sections do while one section is singing their part, right? Because we don't want them sitting and talking. Give them their starting pitches, have them audiate, and when you get to the end of that excerpt, have everyone then sing the note that they should be on once they get to that point. So it's not just the section you are working with that has to pay attention. Everyone else is audiating along with them. So I call it, instead of sing it and chant it, yeah, the old piece by Thomas Morley, sing it and audiate it. Now, strategy number 8, we lost the beat. That's what I call this one. Now, if you want your choir to emphasize, for instance, beat 1 and beat 4 more, you know, if your piece is in 4-4, have them leave out beats 2 and 3 and sing only beats 1 and 4. Now, a similar exercise with this in our sight reading, but now we're taking this and we are applying it to our repertoire. When they have the hang of it, add beats 2 and 3 back in, but making sure that the beats 1 and 4 are still more prominent. Yeah, 1 being the strongest beat and 4 is leading into beat 1. Now, if you are working on music where you want to actually de-emphasize beats 1 and 4, for instance, music from the Renaissance, have your choir sing beats 2 and 3 and then leave out beats 1 and 4, and that's going to help them balance things out, yeah, because they will just naturally emphasize those middle beats a little bit more while they audiate on beats 1 and 4. So that is strategy number 8, which I like to call We Lost the Beat. Now, strategy number 9, I like to call freeze chord. Now, if there's a particular chord where your choir is struggling with intonation, have them hold their pitch on the previous chord. Then have your singers stop and only think their next pitch. Yeah, so they're only audiating it. And then have them sing their next pitch and assess if they have done so accurately. Now you can go back and forth between the two chords and have your singers practice that transition from one note to the next. Finish up by then singing through the surrounding measures so that your singers can use the greater context to remember what they have worked on. So freeze chord, you are simply stopping right before the chord that you are really dealing with as far as intonation goes. Have them stop and think it, and then sing it. That gives them just an extra second to really focus intently on that specific pitch and that intonation before they then attempt to sing it. Yeah, once they have that, then you sort of take that strategy away and having them sing it in tempo. And so you're literally freezing on that chord. Yeah, that's why I call it freeze chord. Now, strategy number 10 is what I like to simply call the think method. Give the choir starting pitches to an excerpt and have them audiate as you conduct. At the end of the excerpt, or when you get to the first chord of the next section, have the choir then sing their note. So similar to what something like we did in the sight reading portion that I was talking about, but now you are applying it to the actual repertoire. Yeah, so if you're concerned about not only accuracy of pitches and rhythms, but also if it's an a cappella piece, you know, is the choir staying in tune? This is a great way for them to sort of practice that and just simply just audiating the section once you give the beginning pitches and then see how they do once you get to the end. And, you know, something like that where the proof is in the pudding, right? They sing their chord. If they're in tune, then great, then they've been successful. If they haven't, then you know there's somewhere in that excerpt where we need to go back and review so that we can make sure that we are keeping that intonation accurate as we're going through the section of the piece. So that is strategy number 10, the think method. Strategy number 11, I like to call pick the beat. Have the choir sing an excerpt of repertoire, leaving out a specific beat in each measure. To increase the choir's level of listening, have the different voice parts stagger which beat they are leaving out. So for instance, sopranos leave out beat 1, altos leave beat 2, tenors leave out beat 3, etc., etc. And like many of these strategies, this strategy is really making singers focus on their tonal memory, right? By these other sections of the choir leaving these beats out, they can't just rely on getting their pitch from another part, right? They've really got to make sure that they are internalizing this and really have these pitches accurately in their brain and not just being led there by another section of the choir or another section of the music. Yeah, it's really got to be internalized. So that is strategy 11, pick the beat. Strategy number 12, last but not least, I call wait your turn. Divide your choir into evenly balanced small ensembles. Yeah. So if you can, you know, two sopranos, two altos, two tenors, two basses, if you can. Depending on your singing arrangement, you can have your singers physically stand together, or you can just have them number off and sing from where they are at in regards to each other in the ensemble, in the seating arrangement. So what you're going to do is sing through an excerpt in your repertoire. Group one starts singing at the beginning of the excerpt with the other groups audiating. Then at your signal, just giving them a simple hand sign, you know, giving them the number two, group one stops singing and group two begins where they left off with really no warning from you. Yeah, maybe it's one beat, two beats ahead of time, but that's it. And you're just doing them in really random spots too. Yeah, don't just do it in the very obvious transitions being between sections. Yeah, do it in the middle of phrases, things like that. And so you can go through a whole piece of music jumping from one group to the next. And so this really requires consistent, really intense focus from your singers, because they are constantly not only just listening to the other sections of the choir, you know, whoever happens to be singing at that time, but they are audiating their part and internalizing all of this so that they are ready to go at a moment's notice. This might be my favorite strategy of the 12, and I think with the singers that I have done this strategy with, this has been their favorite too, because it involves everyone. It keeps everyone involved in one way or another, and it's also a very focused activity. Yeah, if in order to be successful, everyone has to be on board with this and everyone has to be engaged. So, you know, if you're dealing with some singers in your rehearsals where people tend to sort of check out from time to time, you don't feel like you've got their full attention all the time, doing a strategy like this, it really, again, makes them focus consistently. And then once you can say that, it's like, what would happen if everyone had that level of focus throughout our entire rehearsal as we were singing? Think about how much we would get done, how successful we would be. Yeah, how efficient, how productive our rehearsals would be if everyone had that level of focus all the time in rehearsals. So it's a great teaching tool in that aspect as well. Well, my friends, those are just 12 of the strategies that I have used with audiation in my choir rehearsals. I hope this podcast episode has given you some useful ideas for incorporating audiation into your choir rehearsals. And like any new skill, audiation takes practice. But by making it a part of your rehearsal process, audiation can have a great impact on the skill level of your singers. My advice would be start small, right? Use a couple of the strategies that I talked about in warm-ups or in your sight reading process, yeah? And you can incorporate those, and you don't even really have to go that in depth with the technique. You just say, here's what I want you to do as we're doing this warm-up. Yeah, you're leaving out the syllable me, or you're leaving out the syllable so as we go through this. Yeah, through sight reading, anytime you hit the syllable do, I want you to just think it. You don't sing it, and you continue to go on in tempo, right? And then as your singers get used to this concept, then you can start to build it into the rehearsal strategies with your repertoire. And I think you will find it will help your singers to be, again, very focused in rehearsal, but they're also going to have fun too with these strategies, which I think it's an extra added bonus, but I think it's also an important thing to mention. When we're doing different rehearsal strategies, yes, we want them to be productive. Yes, we want to make our singers more successful, but we need to try to find things that are also going to be enjoyable for our singers, because then they're going to come back to the rehearsal the next day or 2 days or next week, and they're going to be excited to be there. And they're going to say, oh, hey, what are we going to try next? Yeah, what's the next new thing that we're going to try in rehearsal? And that gives you the open invitation to try new things, which can make it more fun for us as choir directors as well. Well, thank you for listening to this episode, my friends. Again, I hope this episode has provided some motivation and some inspiration to try out audiation in your choir rehearsals. Best of luck, and I will see you next week. Are you looking for resources that will save you time and frustration? Want to dive deeper into topics related to your teaching? Then check out the Choir Director Corner community membership over at choirdirectorcorner.com/membership.